Welcome to the Sicha this week, Project Lakota Siches. We're learning Sicha Beis of Parshas Lech Lecha on page 44. Parshas Seinu Mesupal Dvar Tzivi HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAvram Avinu Limoy LaSatzmoy Bnei Beisa. This week's Parsha, we learn the mitzvah of Avram Avinu doing the mitzvah of Bris Milah for himself and the people in his house. Ubikiyumay Tzivi Zeh Nase Reish Lamulim. Avraham Avinu becomes, as it says in the Medrash, the first of those that make the Bris Milah. Reish v'rishayin l'chol anachnasim b'krisis ha-Bris Kodesh shebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'kol echad v'echad mi'Yisrael. The first one to make this bond, this Bris, that's made between the Eibishter and every single Yid. V'ad shebenusach ha-Baruch Hu l'Bris Milah anu oimrim. The fact that Avraham Avinu was the first is not only the first then, but this is actually the nusach of the bracha that we make today. Lach nisai bebrisai shel Avraham Avinu. That we bring the child into the covenant of Avraham Avinu. And this will be the theme of this entire sikha to explain the nusach of this bracha, why we say bebrisai shel Avraham Avinu. So here the Rebbe explains, what do we see from the fact that we're saying that it's the bris of Avraham Avinu? V'hani shebris ha-mila ha-meskayemes ha-ato. The bris that you do today with a child, he mishtayeches or misyacheses lezu shel Avraham Avinu, is related and comes from the same bris that Avraham Avinu originally made. L'hiyosei Avraham Avinu, because he's not just a person, but he's Avinu, he's our forefather. Harehu meirish u'manchel l'kol echad v'echad mibonov hayorshim esakoyach lihikaneis bebrisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he gives over, he inherits to all of his descendants this power to be able to enter into this covenant with the Eibishter. This is the bris of Avraham Avinu that we all make when we make the bris with a baby. The Rebbe adds even more when it comes to the expression of Avinu, which means it is Yerusha here, there's an inheritance to his descendants. So when it comes to a Yerusha, the relationship between the father and the child that's inheriting is very powerful. Halo yedua, because it's known. Aleph number one, shaha yirusha eina tluya klal b'matzavoy v'achanosay shal haben l'reshes. The yirusha is not at all dependent on the condition or any preparations of the child to inherit. Ki gam tinek ben yoymai yirusha kel. A child, one day old, inherits everything. So, the yirusha is complete, full, not because of any specific qualification of the child. Base, another point, she'ein bi yirusha mishum shini rishus ha-mayrish. The way yirusha works is, it's not that the object is leaving one possession and entering into a different possession from one entity to another, rather, ki'im shahayirish nichnas b'mekoymoy shel ha-mayrish mamish. The yirish enters into the place of the one that he's inheriting from. That's what's changing, that when one person passes away, the child enters into his place and automatically he takes possession of everything in that place. So the relationship is so much deeper according to this. So we understand from this. So the bris of every single yid is the bris of Avraham Avinu. The ability of a yid, the preparation and the possibility of a yid to enter into this bris with the Eibishter comes from Avraham Avinu. So since one that inherits without looking at his specific condition, nichnas b'mekoymish al ha-mayrish kanal, enters into the place of the mayrish himself, and kain are bris shaloi, he brisay shal Avraham Avinu. So the bris that's made with every child, with every yid, is this very same bris that every yid enters into that place that Avraham Avinu had when he made the bris with the Eibishter. Every yid gets that koyach and enters into the same place of Avraham Avinu. That's why we make the bracha la'achnisay bebrisay shel Avraham Avinu. Avol tzarech lahavin. However, the Rebbe says there's a question here. Harambam kosav bebir mitzvazu. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos. This is a well-known Rambam in Perek Zayin of Chulin, where the Rambam writes regarding the mitzvah of milah as follows. Ein onu malin mipnei she'Avraham Avinu alav shalom mal atzmei v'anshei beisai. We do not fulfill the mitzvah of bris milah because Avraham Avinu made the bris himself with the people of his house. Elo mipnei, rather, why are we doing the mitzvah of bris today? Mipnei she'Akadosh Baruch Hu tziva isanu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu shanimoyel. It's the Eibishter's mitzvah at the time of Har Sinai that we are doing the mitzvah for that reason. Not because of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu in his time as an individual got the mitzvah, and that would not necessarily continue for Klal Yisrael later. It's only because the Eibishter says the mitzvah again in Parshas Tazria to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why we do the mitzvah today. Hare move on. So we understand from this the Avshak Koyach Akiyim Mitzvahs Mila Nitin Biyirushim Avraham Avinu. Although the power, as the Rebbe explained before, the ability to enter into a covenant, the bris is not just a physical action, but the ability for the effect of the bris to enter into this bris with the Eibishter is an inheritance from Avraham Avinu. The mitzvah itself, as it lies upon us, the obligation of the mitzvah, is not a continuation and not an inheritance of Avraham Avinu's fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah that we do today is based on and begins new from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu received the mitzvah and gave it to Yidden. So why is this mitzvah called the bris of Avraham Avinu? It's not the bris of Avraham Avinu. That mitzvah was his mitzvah. The mitzvah that we do today is the mitzvah that we get after Matan Torah. Especially based on what the Medrash says, where the Medrash explains the difference between the mitzvahs that Avraham Avinu fulfilled and the mitzvahs that we fulfill today. The mitzvahs that the Avos fulfilled is compared to an aroma. But the mitzvahs that we do is like emptying out the oil itself that has that nice aroma from one vessel to another. What does this mean? The mitzvahs that we fulfill today, after Matan Torah, there's a great advantage that it has more than whatever Avraham Avinu fulfilled. And the analogy of the Medrash is bedugmas mailas gufa shemen al reichai. It's like the advantage of having the oil itself over just the aroma of the oil. And Cain, if that's the case, eichi tochen asher mitzvahs mila she'onu mekaymen harehi brisoi shel Avraham Avinu. How can we say that the mitzvah that we do today, that comes after Matan Torah, and is on so much of a high level, that this is the bris of Avraham Avinu? It's a completely different kind of a mitzvah, different, a much higher level of a mitzvah. Gam tzarech lahavin. Other Rebbe says it's actually a more basic question we could ask here on the nusach of the bracha lachnisay bebrisay shel Avraham Avinu. Lashon habracha bebrisay shel Avraham Avinu matgisha inyan Avraham Avinu. What are we emphasizing here? That this is the covenant of Avraham Avinu. Ulachayda adav yaisel ahadgish shabrisim hakadosh baruch hu. Wouldn't it be more important to emphasize the fact that this is a covenant with the Eibishter? Dahainu lahachnisai bebris im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to enter into a bris with the Eibishter. Why mention at all the first one that made the bris, Avraham Avinu, that brought this bris into the world? And true, Avraham Avinu was the first and he empowers us to enter into this covenant. But wouldn't it be more appropriate to say more directly what the theme of the bris is? The theme of the bris is to enter into a covenant with the Eibishter himself. So to get a deeper understanding of the nusach of the bracha, lachnisay bebrisay shel Avraham Avinu, the Rebbe gives an introduction here. V'haktim divrei adma azokim b'shulchanai. The Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch as follows: Ashet chilas knisas nefesh zu akdosha, the beginning of the entrance of the holy nefesh of a yid, he happens when b'mitzvas mila, by the time of the mitzvah of mila. Move on. So there's an obvious question here. Gam koydim leida satinik, even before a child is born, in his mother's womb, melamden oisei kol ha-teira kula, he's being taught the entire Torah. What does this mean? Hareshagam terem ivoldo nimtzas bei nefesh hakdosha. So even before he's born, he has a holy neshama learning Torah. Shehihi alimedes as kol ha-teira kula. That's who's learning the entire Torah in his mother's womb. If so, ve'eich yasimze emamuva le'el. How does this fit with what the Alter Rebbe says? Shetchilas knisas nefesh hakdosha hi beis habris mila. That the neshama only enters at the time of the bris. Shehi or shehu yoyim hashmini lelidase. Being only the eighth day after the person is born. How could this be? So the answer here is knisas nefesh hakdosha. The Alter Rebbe says the entrance of the holy nefesh. What is the real concept of this word, the entrance of the nefesh? why do we use this term entrance? What is it? A nefesh makes an entrance. The nefesh gives chayas. So why do we use this terminology of entrance? Pirusha, you know what the real pshat is? Chibur pnimi shel haneshama im haguf. It's not just the fact that the neshama provides the life to the guf, but it enters into the properties of the guf. It enters and becomes unified with the guf. Vadleis achtos vehis atzmus lemetzius achas. It enters and becomes one with the guf itself. That's the real concept of entrance in this context, and that's what Alter Rebbe is saying here. Sha'oz nikeres v'nidis pu'ulasa shel haneshama beguf. It enters and it becomes one entity with the guf itself, so much so that you see the life of the neshama in the guf itself. In other words, usually the neshama, of course, gives life to the guf. However, what's the guf itself? The guf itself is a physical life. The neshama is the source to provide life to the guf. But that what's the quality of the life of the guf itself? The guf itself is physical. The neshama is spiritual. The neshama is ruchni. It's a nefesh achelik alakami mal. It gives life to the guf in the properties of the guf, which is a gashmizdiga life. The entrance is that the life of the neshama becomes united and infused in the guf to an extent that in the gashmi zdege guf you see the ruchni zdege koyach, the achelik alekami mal mamish, the neshama within the guf itself. As the Rebbe will explain, that happens by the bris. So now we understand that true, when the fetus is in the mother's womb, so it learns taira. Im shekvar yeshna baya nefesh tekdusha. Yes, there is a holy nefesh there that's giving it its life. Because, however, loizu bulvat shenishmasay zu tera nichnesav nisachta begufe kanal. So it's not only that this neshama, the holy neshama, that has not entered in the sense that we explained, that it has not become unified in the gulf. El shagam pu losa shal nefesh achiyunis. The truth is that at that point, even the nefesh achiyunis, the basic vital soul, what's usually called the nefesh abahamis of the Yid, is not a life which is independent and identified with this guf itself. The baby is eating from what the mother eats. He doesn't eat independently and he doesn't have his own life. So at that point there is life there, but that life is not identified with the fetus. It's the mother's life which is being provided to the baby. And the same thing is even more so true when you get to the neshama. There is a neshama here. However, the neshama has not entered, has not penetrated the mitzias of the guf. And even after the child is born, so here you see an independent guf that now has its own life that's become unified with the body. What do you see in the existence of the body of a baby? You don't see the effect and the unity that it has with its neshama. Because at that point, the reason is because at that point, the neshama, which is the source of its life, is still concealed. It's still makiftik. All we see is the physical life, the vital life that the neshama has. When is the true entrance, the real entrance, the internal entrance of the neshama that it affects the guf and becomes identified with the guf, v'schabrusa ha-gluya, that it becomes unified in a revealed way, harehi nefeles v'nekeres dafkai de brismila. That you see and that takes place at the time of the brismila, when the neshama enters into the physical body, here the effect of the neshama is being drawn through the mitzvah of the bris. The neshama is being drawn into the physical flesh, the physical existence of the guf. The bris with the Eibishter is now sealed and there in the physical body. So much so that this is something that even anybody in the world could see and notice. So the bris oilam, the Rebbe says, is the fact that it comes into the mitzias of oilam that anybody could see what the identity of the physical guf itself is. The identity of the guf is the holiness of the neshama that's recognized in it. That's the true concept of knisa. That it becomes unified. That what is the mitzias haguf? The neshama which is noticed in it. That's the accomplishment of the bris. To bring the neshama, the real, full, pure entrance of the neshama into the guf agashmi. So this is a unique advantage that you see only the mitzvah of milah more than other mitzvahs. Kol ha-mitzvahs in yonam l'chaber es adam ha-mekayim min ha-kadosh baruch hu ha-metzavah. all mitzvahs, the theme of our mitzvah is to connect the person fulfilling the mitzvah with the commander. Mitzvah, loshen tzavsa v'chibur. A mitzvah means connection. Aval, ein chibur zeh nikir beguf hamakayim ha-mitzvah. The chibur that takes place, the tzavsa v'chibur that takes place when you fulfill a mitzvah is not recognized in the physical hand or the physical activity, the physical guf of the person. Al derech moshe, hayad ha-machalekes tzedakah. The hand which is giving tzedakah. If this hand fulfilled this mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah creates a connection and has an impact on the hand itself. We don't see that impact in the physical hand. The expression that we bring, that connection that we draw down through this mitzvah, does not penetrate to the extent that there's an actual physical change that we can see. Which is not true when it comes to the mitzvah of milah. The mitzvah of milah is stamped in the physical body of the person. Say the mizu. It's not only this, but kol inyan mitzvah. This is the whole theme of the mitzvah. That this change is taking place, this elevation that's taking place with the bris with the Eibishter, should be dafki in the physical goof of the person. Leini basar, for anyone to notice. V'gam lumis ha'ilim kanal, even a goy la'avdol could notice this as well. That's the whole point of the mitzvah, the unique advantage of this mitzvah, to bring the connection even into the physical body, to draw down the life of the neshama, to become unified with the physical body of the person. This is a great advantage in this krisis, not only over other mitzvahs, but other instances where the Eibishter makes a covenant with Klal Yisrael. Habris shekoras Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'nei Yisrael b'Sinai u'bar v'smayav. The Eibishter makes a bris with Yidden by Matan Torah and in Ar v'smayav. This is a bris that's made with all of Klal Yisrael in all of generations, even those that are not physically present. It's made with the neshamas of all generations. The Kamesha Kasa, the Pasuk says, in Parshas Nitzavim, or everyone, Imanu Ayayim, it's everyone is included in the bris. This covenant includes prior generations, v'gamim adoris ha'asidin lovay, and also future generations. Haynu shekrisas habris ha'isa imanishama shekulam ha'isham ba'isem ma'ima. The bris is really taking place. The Eibush is making the bris with the neshamas of the Yidden. Everybody is present, all the neshamas. V'kolashon ha'yedua is the lashon of Chazal b'negei l'kol echad v'echad b'bnei Yisrael koyel la'geirim, regarding all the klal Yisrael, including geirim. Mushba va'oimed mehar Sinai. There's an oath that we took upon ourselves from the time of Har Sinai, which includes everybody. So this is a bris that takes place with the neshamas of all Yidden. You say the mizu, it goes even a step further, because you may still argue, those that were present, the bris is being made with their guf. So the Rebbe says, it's still not the same as it is in the case of the bris mila, that is. Eilu shoyen neichichim sham begufam, those that were present with their physical bodies. How is the bris made with them? They listen. They listen to the words that Moshe Rabbeinu tells them. How do you listen to something? It's the physical ears that you can have the sense of hearing to listen. So there is a physical limb in the body that's participating in this bris. What's the ear? The ear itself is a physical ear. The ear itself is not affected by the listening. The ear is just the opening to enter that the neshama should listen. For the sense of hearing that the neshama has, and the neshama listens to the message of Moshe Rabbeinu. But there's no bris that's affecting the physical ear itself. It's the neshama that's receiving the message through the ear. So we understand from this, the bris that the Eibush makes with the Yidden by Arvus Moyav and others that are similar, this is a bris with the neshamas of the Yidden, whether those that are present and those that are not present. The chiddush of the bris of Mila is, asher in yonah, the whole theme of this mitzvah is, liya is brisi b'psarchem lebris oilam. This is to bring the connection into the flesh, lebris oilam. Shegam basa gufa gashmi, the physical body. V'ad l'yisoyt siyuma d'gufa, the lowest element, the lowest part of the physical body. Yiskasher v'bris oylom v'makadosh baruch hu kanal. Should be connected with an everlasting bris, or as the Rebbe touched before, the bris oylom, to bring it down even for umas ha'olam to see, as we said before. Shal yideize, now through this, nasa dirilo yisbaruch v'tachtainim. This, to a very great degree, accomplishes the general kavana of the creation, which is to make a dwelling place with Eibishter in the lowest elements of the world. In the lowest place. So in the mitzvah of Bris, you have the fulfillment of Dira B'tachtonim more than in other mitzvahs. So this is what the entire mitzvah of Mila is about. And here the Rebbe adds another knetch, another deeper point here. It's not only that the mitzvah of Mila is not only for the neshama, but it comes down also all the way into the guf. The whole entire mitzvah of Mila is only about the connection to the guf. Why? When the baby is only 8 days old, at this point the child has no ability at all to have a mind of his own, to think of his own, to choose on his own, to do this mitzvah and so on. So who's participating in this mitzvah? The revealed aspect of the neshama that would think, that would serve and do the mitzvah is not here, is not what the mitzvah of the bris is about. The Torah puts the mitzvah to be fulfilled at this age. The Rebbe points out in the Ha'ara, whether the mitzvah is on the father or the child, either way, the fulfillment of the mitzvah is with the child at this age where the gilui of the neshama is not developed yet. Lefi, the reason is, shekol inyan ha-bris mila, the whole entire point of the bris is, u'shebasar ha-guf ha-gash mishaloi yiskashe be-bris ha-makadosh baruch ha-kanal. It's the physical flesh that's becoming connected to the Eibishter. That's what the bris is all about. And this is dafke, and even more so by a child of 8 days old. If you make the bris with someone at an older age, so then the bris is being made with a person that's thinking, with the revealed levels of his neshama, that he can connect in that way. But over here, because that's not developed yet, so the bris is being made, it's the essence of the neshama of the yid that's beyond the keiches ha-geluyim of the neshama. The essence of the neshama of the yid is being revealed and coming down into the physical part of the existence of the person. So now that we understand a deeper what the bris is all about, the entrance of the neshama, the essence of the neshama that comes down into the lowest part of the person's body, into the guf gashmi, so we can understand gam nusach habrocha lachnisoi bebrisoi shel Avraham Avinu, that the nusach is dafke that we enter into the bris of Avraham Avinu. And the Rebbe gives another short introduction here. The Priya Oretz, there's a Sefer Priya Oretz Harav Menachem Mendel Meharadoker. Of the Rav Menachem Mendel Haradoker, which was one of the teachers of the Alter Rebbe, a Talmud of the Magid. Muvueres haflo shal nisoyen ha'akedah b'Avraham Avinu. So there he explains the greatness of the nisoyen of the akedah that Avraham Avinu did. The imme yoyz shahabim ibn Yisrael. You had over history many Yidden, Gama Noshim Pshutim, including simple individuals, B'meshach HaDeiris, Omdu B'Nisayin HaMesiris Nefesh. They withstood a test of Mesiris Nefesh, V'afilu B'Doyim HaLezu Shal Akeda, even similar to Akeda. Gama B'li Shashom HaZeh Tzivim B'Furish MaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmai, and seemingly with an advantage over Avram, because they did not hear a clear directive of the Eibishter to do so. Nevertheless, what Avraham Avinu did has a tremendous advantage. Adla hafli, a great advantage. B'nisayon ha'akeda, we always mention the nisayon of ha'akeda that Avraham Avinu withstood. V'atamus, so the Rav Nachman Mendel Haradoka says the reason is l'fisha Avraham Avinu hoya harishin. Avraham Avinu was the first. Sha'amad b'nisayon zu, he withstood this test the first. U'b'chol k'goynda. When it comes to something like this, to be the first one to withstand a test like this, when there's nobody that you could learn from or take energy from before you, this is a tremendous accomplishment. After Avraham Avinu already opened up the funnel, the salal esaderech, and he paved the road. This makes it easier for others to follow in his footsteps and do the same. They're following in his ways. So that's a tremendous advantage of Avraham Avinu, that he was the first with the Nisayin HaKedah. So now the Rebbe says, let's apply this here to the mitzvah of bris. Could we say the same thing regarding a bris? So the Rebbe says, Omnom, calls this idea here, that when you have a first and then you have those that follow, so they're not as great as the one that made the breakthrough first, when it comes to something that a person is fulfilling with his understanding, with his feelings, it's his choice that he's making, and he has to have that energy and that motivation to do so. In order for a person to have the strength, to have the energy, and to overcome all difficulties and whatever prevents him of doing this, so if he knows and he's aware and he feels there's someone that came before you that did so, he already broke this through, especially if it's someone close to you, if it's your own father that did so, and he opened up the pathway for himself and all Yidden. So this is a great assistance in your ability to follow in his footsteps and do the same. So this is with something when it takes from the person to make a decision with his avana, with his hergish, so he can go on the ways that he was shown from before. But when we're talking about something, like over here, the bris milo, it's not the knowledge of the child, it's not the awareness of the child, it's not his action. There's a mitzvah taking place and being fulfilled in his body without his understanding, without his preparation. Especially a child, he has no shlita, no control over the kaychas that he has, the ruchnizige kaychas that he has, but they're not developed, they're not revealed, his seichel, his middis of his neshama, they're not revealed yet, they're not participating in making the decision for this mitzvah. So the fact that someone else made the decision to go ahead and do this before you will not in any way be there as an assistance to what's happening to you. Because it's not you, Bechlal, that's doing this. This is a physical mitzvah that's taking place in your physical body without your involvement, without your awareness. So in this sense, there's no distinction between the way the mitzvah is being done with you and the way the mitzvah is done with the first one that does this mitzvah. When the mitzvah that's done with him, he's the first. First in the sense, true, yes, there was someone that did it before you. But whatever was done before you has in no way any relation and no effect on you and on the mitzvah the way it's being done by you. When you have one that does something and the other one is following in his footsteps, he's going in his paved road and you're going after him, so then you're second. Not only second literally, but second also in the sense that you're following someone else. But over here, someone that's fulfilling this mitzvah of bris in his physical body without the awareness, it's the mitzvah, as the Rebbe explained before, the point of the mitzvah is not the neshama that's doing it with his awareness. It's the physical body that the mitzvah is done in it. So over here, the first and the second are both first. The fact that one came before has no bearing on the one that comes after. They're both independently first. To take this a step further, this is even true when a mitzvah is sometimes performed by an adult, a case of a ger as well, where it's performed in an adult, so this is also true. In this case, the person is an adult, he's aware, he has feelings, so he has to make that decision to fulfill the mitzvah. What is the mitzvah itself? The point of the mitzvah is not your decision and the ruchnius that you give over to the Eibishter and involve in this covenant with the Eibishter. The point of the mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah, is the gashmi, is the physical body to be connected to the Eibishter. As we already explained before, as far as the actual bris itself, it's not the previous one that fulfilled the mitzvah that's related to the mitzvah that you do. as far as the decision that you made to fulfill the mitzvah, it could be you're getting influenced by the fact that someone else before you did it. Yes, but that's not the mitzvah itself. What is the essence of the mitzvah itself? The fact that the physical basar hagashmi has now entered into a bris with the Eibishter. In that sense, as far as what the mitzvah itself is concerned, you're independent in that. It's not influenced by anyone else. Hainu, shenisinus hakoyach haba ma'arisha, in whatever motivation or whatever influence you're getting from someone before you, and vafilizu haba beturz guliki yerusha. Here that adds another point. The influence that we get from someone before us is not only knowing that someone else did this, so this gives me the ability to follow in his footsteps, but also beruchnius. The fact that someone else did something before you, as the Rebbe said in the beginning of the Sikha, there's an inheritance that gives you a koyach, whether you know of it or not, it gives you a koyach to do what you're doing. This is only relates to the preparation and the ruchni is the aspect of the mitzvah. And here, there is the influence from before. There's the ruchni is the kaiches that come from before. Putting that bris into the physical body, which over here, there's no ruchni is the element to this. It's just the essence of the neshama that's being connected to the physical body. Over here, you're independently the first. Anybody that fulfills the mitzvah of bris mila, ben katan, ben gadol, whether you're a baby, whether you're an adult, you're independently the first in this sense. So now we come back and you can understand to emphasize the theme of what the mitzvah of bris is all about. We say it in the bracha that it's the bris of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the first to do this mitzvah. Every year fulfilling the mitzvah is not following, is not influenced, but in the sense of the mitzvah that is the physical basar that's entering into the bris. He is the first. He is fulfilling and entering into that very same bris like Avraham Avinu himself, not just following. So we dafke choose this language to emphasize this point and to express the theme and the chiddush of what this mitzvah is all about. So now based on this, this will explain another detail about the mitzvah of bris that's unique and different from other mitzvahs that needs clarification. Why is the bris done in a way that it brings about pain for the baby? Especially as we know, the joy in the fulfillment of a mitzvah is a very important part in serving the Eibishter. To serve the Eibishter and everything with joy. So why did the Eibishter give us this mitzvah, such a great and important mitzvah? In the fulfillment of the mitzvah, the baby feels pain. The opposite of what joy is. Why is this so? It's not that this mitzvah, in this action, specifically causes pain. This is the nature of the world bechlal, that this would cause pain. Not that this mitzvah causes pain. This action bechlal in a body causes pain. So this is just part of nature. It's a byproduct of the way the mitzvah is fulfilled. It's not necessarily the intention of what the mitzvah is supposed to accomplish. That pain doesn't have to be there, but it just happens to be because it's a physical action that causes always pain. So the Rebbe says, Omnam mikivin shekol inyanei ha'olam hem meduyakim. Everything that's in the world is precise and exact. The way it is above in the source. Everything we see in this world evolves from the way it is above. So we can't ever say regarding any nature that we see in the world, oh, this is just the nature, the way things are. So that's true b'chlal about nature. Everything we see in nature is a reflection of something, of the way it's designed above, and that then evolves over here in this world. So we could never b'chlal explain anything in nature just to say that, oh, this is just the way nature is. How much more so when it comes to a mitzvah, the fact that the mitzvah is fulfilled in a way that it causes pain, we can't just say that the pain happens to be a byproduct of the way the mitzvah is fulfilled. The pain is something which is with a purpose. There's something, there's a message here, there's something about the pain in the mitzvah. So there's something that's being expressed by the idea that this covenant with the Eibishter is done in a way that it causes pain to the child. Especially according to those opinions that say the fulfillment of the mitzvah must be done in a natural way with the pain that it causes. You're not supposed to do any numbing to the place where the bris is fulfilled, or whether to full anesthesia or in that area, that he shouldn't feel the pain. So we see according to these opinions that the mitzvah has to be done naturally with the pain that it involves. So what's the message here? What's the point of the fact that the mitzvah is done this way? The answer is in yon noshal mitzvah smila hu lahamshich elakuzgam bebasa agashmi shebeguf. As we've explained, the whole idea of the mitzvah of bris, uniquely and different than all other mitzvahs, is to bring the covenant of the Eibishter in the physical body of the Yid. Shebezeh nasa lo yizbarach dire betachteinim. And this is a fulfillment of the purpose of creation, to make a dwelling for the Eibishter in the lowest element of the world. So you say, Meres. So if so, what this means is, Shegam betachtim beyoser, even in the lowest element of existence. And here the Rebbe adds, Ukemoy shehu betachtaini yusai, and leaving it within its nature as a tachtin. Oysim dire lo yizbarach. There is where we make this dwelling for the Eibishter. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is not only in the physical flesh, but in the physical flesh with its natural state. Not by numbing it and removing it from its natural state of being, but in its physical flesh with the pain that's there, that's the place where the mitzvah is fulfilled. Mugder b'chol tchun meisav, as it is with all of its character, which means, including, ashegam bebasa kazeh, even in the flesh of the person, shehu margish tzar bedavar mitzvah, he feels pain in a mitzvah, shetzarech liyaz boi ha-hepech mizeh ha-simcha, even in this place, which feels pain in a mitzvah, which you really should feel the opposite, only joy in a mitzvah, but the physical flesh feels pain. So you have to bring down the revelation of the Eibishter, gam bedag koyin emucha, even in such a low place in the physical flesh that feels the opposite of what it should in a mitzvah. Poyalim shetiskasher bebris oylamim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there in that place, in the lowest tachtin, a place where the person feels the opposite of what the theme of the mitzvah is about, and right there in that place is where the mitzvah with the tzar, that's the place where the mitzvah is fulfilled. This expresses to an even greater degree of what the Rebbe said before, that the theme of the mitzvah is to bring down the connection to the lowest place in the person. The lesson that we take from all of this is, Admar Zakon Kaiser B'Shulchan Ed Alter Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch, Ein La Adam Rishus Al Gufei Klal Cholo. A person has no rights over his body to do what he wants with it. Letzare B'Shum Tzar, to cause himself, to afflict upon himself any pain. Umuv Mizeh B'Pashtos. So we understand simply from this, She'ein Adam Rashoy L'Chapeis Achreis Askus B'in Yashigrim Leitzar. A person does not have the rights to go and look for, to do something, even in serving the Eibishter, in something that will cause him pain. When a person has to fulfill his mission in this world to create a dwelling for the Eibishter below, so then on the contrary, you have to be dedicated to your shlichus, and you can't stop yourself even if it involves also painful situations. And Bechlal, the Rebbe says, the Gemara says, we cannot know the hidden plans of the Eibishter, why the Eibishter is causing certain pains. And Ve'ulai, based on what we learned before, we can understand a little bit, the fact that a person is fulfilling his shlichus in a place where there's pain, so he's bringing down the shchina, the dire betachteinim, into the lowest element of the existence of the world. So ulai, adarabah, this is the kavana of the fulfilling his purpose of dire betachteinim. From this we can understand, someone that has been placed upon himself, a mission, a shlichus, He cannot rely on his own understanding, on his own judgment, whether he should accept this or not. A person is a kodav to himself. A person, the self-love blinds a person. And a person may come up with all kinds of ideas. Because he wants to avoid the shlichus that he has to fulfill because it has some painful elements to it. So when a person has to fulfill a shlichus, or there's a shlichus that's placed upon him, and he doesn't know if it's for him, if he wants to fulfill it or not, he can't rely on his own judgment. Because the painful things that are involved in the shlichus is not necessarily a sign that it's not for you. The adarabah, that might be even be part of what the shlichus is about. V'im ki af shaliyos sha'olav la'idia l'mishaleach. Yes, it may be true that he has to go back to the one that sent him and let him know that my opinion, the opinion of the shliach is that he can share the facts that he has these reservations about the shlichus. Aval, ha-hachlota atzma, the decision itself, tzarech liyos shel ha-mishaleach, has to be the mishaleach's decision. The mishaleach is the one that can see and know whether this is your mission. Asher bevada ein lepnis chas v'shalom. And also keep in mind, the Mishaleach has no ulterior motives. He wants you to fulfill your purpose in this world. And even if he sees whatever pain and suffering is involved, he knows what's good for you. And therefore, he's the one that you have to trust and go ahead with fulfilling the shlichus. Yadarab, on the contrary, when a person will dedicate himself with all of the keiches that he has to his shlichus. Neisef al keiches shel Mishaleach. In addition to the main thing, that he has the keiach of the Mishaleach, bevada yatzliach, he will most definitely fulfill, he will succeed in fulfilling his shlichus properly, and without any pain and suffering, but with joy and a glad heart, and will make a dwelling for the Eibishter in this world below. Just this week I heard from someone that was by the Rebbe in Yechidus, and he complained to the Rebbe about many difficulties that he was encountering in his shlichus, and he felt like he can't continue. And the Rebbe just asked him one question. Vos is mit de koyach ha-mishaleach? So that's the message over here in the end of the sicha, to take the koyach of the mishaleach and fulfill our shlichus, and as the Rebbe concludes, it should be done b'li tzar v'yisurim and b'simcha uv'tuv leivov.